This is Beyond the BEO, and I'm your host, Shannon Doe Nicholson. Each episode, we chat with events industry professionals about how to make your event the best possible. This show is brought to you by The Right Stuff Agency, making your business sound as good as it looks. Be sure to follow Beyond the BEO on Instagram, where I share tips on how to grow your personal brand, host great events, and have an impact in your events career. Welcome back to the show. This week, my guest is Shannon Talbot. Shannon is a certified health, life, and transformational coach. Former corporate leader in the financial services and advertising industries, Shannon started her own company, Shannon Talbot Coaching and Consulting, to help working professionals maximize their well-being and success and have more energy and joy across every area of their life. And she's now a published author. And this week we're talking about her book, Breaking Free. Stop holding back, start being you, your guide to creating the career and life of your dreams. This book was really great for anyone who feels stuck in their career or doesn't really know what comes next or wants to push themselves a little bit more in their career. We talk about how perfection and high expectations translates into the events world, as we all know that those are really big pillars and can sometimes get in the way of our own success. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with the book about the book, and can't wait to hear your thoughts. Let's get into it. Welcome to the show, Shannon. I'm so excited to have you here to talk about your book and learn more about you. So if you could just get started by, you know, giving us a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Hi, everyone, and thanks for having me. So my background, I worked in corporate for 17 years. I worked in the banking industry for 15 years. I worked in the advertising industry for 2 years and had a lot of really great experience. But one thing I was never great at was managing my stress or my well-being, my career and my family. I have 2 young kids at home as well. So my career and my family took priority a lot of the time. And then a few years ago, I decided it was time. It was time to start prioritizing my well-being. It was time to look after myself. It was time to redefine success. And so I did a lot of steps in that. And then I left the corporate world about 3 years ago now. And now I am a speaker, I am a coach, and I wrote my first book called Breaking Free, Stop Holding Back, Start Being You. That came out in January.
Yeah, awesome. And that's really what we're going to be focusing on today, because I have read Breaking Free, really enjoyed it. Super easy read, like very conversational. You know, sometimes you get some personal development books that are a little dry, and that's not this book, right? It really felt like you were talking to me and we were just having a conversation about your experience and like how that can be reflected into, you know, your career and what do we want to get out of our careers. And, you know, I've been in event planning, you know, all going on almost 15 years now. And it's a career that I've always loved and I've always been passionate about. But I always thinking, okay, like what is the next step? Like what is the long-term plan? And is it still serving the purpose, right? Because I think, you know, you talked a lot about in the book, your experience in corporate and that really fulfilling you for a long time until it didn't, right? And sometimes having to have that difficult conversation with yourself of, oh, I've spent all this time investing in this career, going to school for it, putting in the time, putting in the late nights and long weekends. And, you know, sometimes you have to reevaluate that's not what you want anymore. And like, how do you kind of grapple with that? Like, you know, obviously it's a multi, you know, I don't think you woke up one day and said, I'm leaving corporate and that's it. But, you know, how do you start having those conversations with yourself?
Yeah. And it's so fascinating because in my case, and one of the things I talk about in my book is I had what I call 2 secret silly dreams. And one started when I was 10 and it was to write a book. Or be an author, not just one book. I want to write more books. And one to be a speaker that got sparked in high school. But I told myself, neither of those are careers. Like, Shannon, you can't make a living from writing and speaking. You know, even though I love authors and I love books and I see them being successful, but I told myself it wasn't the right path for me, that I had to go down your more traditional path. you know, get a job in corporate and pay the bills and all of that. And I did love it. And I did really, you know, I learned so much. I met incredible friends who are still friends today with my coworkers. But I think sometimes there's just that, you know, the seed might get bigger and bigger and bigger that was planted years ago until one day, in my case, I let myself go there and I asked myself three questions and I was like, am I happy? Am I healthy? Do I feel fulfilled? And my answers were not really. And I didn't want that to be my answers. I was in my late 30s and I was like, no, I'm too young to have my life be like meh for the rest of my life. And so what used to light me up no longer lit me up anymore. And so I set out on a journey to figure that out because I had no idea. I just knew something was missing and I wanted to find out what that was.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, you know, one of the stories that resonated with me in the book was the person who thought she wanted to be a vet. And, you know, I think especially in events, because there's so many parts of events, you know, there's corporate, there's marketing events, there's weddings, there's parties, there's incentive, you know, I think there's a lot of parts of the industry that people don't even realize exist. And I think that it was a great, you know, lesson in, you know, sometimes you might get there and also not like it, right? You might think when I started thinking like, oh, I want to be in events, I just assumed it was going to be weddings. And then now, anytime someone's like, so why don't you plan weddings? I'm like, no, not for me. Thank you. I'm like, that is a talent. That is a very important job. Not the one I want to do. Right. So like, how do you kind of give yourself permission? And I think, you know, you talk a lot about risk in the book. How do you give yourself the permission to try those things and explore those things and let it be okay when you're like, oh, this isn't lighting me up like it used to.
Yeah. And I think that you said it right. It's the granting yourself permission. You know, I think as we get older, we're like, oh, I'm too old to try something new, or, oh, I need to be practical, or, you know, whatever it is, or like, oh, dreams are for kids. And it's granting yourself permission. And sometimes it's, as you said, you know, sometimes it's literally just changing something you do in your current job to make you happier. Maybe it is changing your role a bit differently. It's not always making, like I've made a couple big leaps in my life where I went from banking to advertising and then advertising to an entrepreneur. But that doesn't have to be the case, right? We can take smaller risks, test things out. And in my case, I started my business on the side because I also was like, what if I don't like it? And I started with coaching and I was like, what if I don't like coaching? Well, I'm not going to leave my really great career to do something that I don't like. And, you know, another story I had in the book is somebody telling me, make sure you're never running from something. Make sure you're running to something. And I think that's another important thing to remember. We're going to have bad days in our careers, in our lives. You know, we're not going to love every minute of our job. So just if you're ever thinking about changing or taking a risk, it's asking yourself, am I running away or am I running to something? Because I think that's a really big factor to remember.
Yeah, that's huge because I think so often, you know, people will get a new job or, you know, make a change because they're unhappy and they kind of figure, well, it can't be worse wherever else, right? It can't be worse at the next thing. It can't be worse on my own, right? And so it's really asking, okay, are you actually fired up about that new opportunity or are you just fired up about leaving where you are right now, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think, you know, another thing that really resonated with me from the book is the three P's, you know, perfection, people pleasing, and perception. And I think as event planners, we are trained to produce perfection all of the time, or at least the appearance of perfection. And we're people pleasing, right? We are in hospitality. We are the customer is always right. The attendee is always right. You know, we all laugh after the event of like, can you believe that this person did this or asked for this thing? And it's like, of course we're not going to do that. Or of course, like, this is a crazy ask, but of course you put on the smile, you put on the customer service voice and let's see what we can do to figure this out thinking we're not doing any of this. So, in the book, you talk about like, unless you're in life saving, right? You know, doctors, obviously, you know, in surgery, you're looking for perfection, right? So what do you do when you're in a career that has this
perception, I guess, of being perfect all the time when we know really that we're trying to present perfection to our stakeholders, but knowing that we can't actually attain it. So how do we kind of balance trying to strive for the best and the best experience and the best results while also being realistic with ourselves and with, you know, other stakeholders?
Yeah, that's tough. You're in a tough industry and you work your butts off and yeah, you're bending over backwards for clients. And it is one of those tough jobs where you're right, it's not life or death, but I would give people, people pleasing and striving for perfection are higher up there than perhaps in some other industries for sure. But I think it's learning to manage expectations, right? And having those clear expectations at the onset with your clients, with yourself too, right? Because sometimes they're self-inflicted expectations where we tell ourselves, well, this event has to be absolutely perfect and nothing can go wrong and all of this. And I'm sure you guys have seen it all, right? You've seen everything happen that could happen in an event. So it's understanding, okay, what is good enough, right? Like what is still going to be great, but that you can stop at that. Because the thing with striving for perfection is we will never accomplish it.
Yeah.
Right? Perfection does not exist in essence. So we'll just keep telling ourselves, oh, it's not quite there yet, or it's not perfect there yet. And luckily events have deadlines, so you have no choice but to stop at a certain time. But you need to bring down the expectations a bit and keeping in mind, you know, it's not life or death, right? You want to do a great job. You want to please your client, but at the end of the day, it isn't surgery. So what's the best effort you can put in without burning out?
Yeah. And I think there's so many things that to unpack there. You know, obviously, you know, sometimes reminding your team that this is not life or death is a good pep talk in the morning. I'm not going to lie. I've said it before. And I also think with events too, it's understanding that your perception of perfection is going to be different than somebody else's. So oftentimes if I'm working with a team who's not used to being on site, so, you know, let's say we're at a big conference and we've got folks from other teams kind of helping us on site to get people registered and move people around, or if I'm working on like a volunteer event, like through a charity and, you know, it's a lot of eager folks who are not planners, I'll often remind them of, we're the only ones who know what it's supposed to look like. And so if we show up and the color is off, I mean, not great for branding, but you know, if something is not where we thought it was going to be, we can figure those things out and no one else is going to know, right? We have this vision of what it's supposed to be in our heads. And most people are not going to know what that vision is supposed to be until they show up on site, right? And you mentioned, you know, deadlines and events. Like we are a project with a true deadline, right? That date is coming no matter what. So we can either, mm-hmm. you know, keep trying to change things, keep trying to move things around. But realistically, that date is coming and going no matter what. It's not like a different project where, you know, oh, an ad campaign gets delayed or a launch is delayed or a new product offering is delayed. There is legitimately people showing up and you better be ready for them in some capacity, right? So, you know, I think it's kind of, like you said, setting those expectations for yourself and for others of, okay, here's what is manageable in the timelines that we have, in the budget that we have, and this is how we're going to, you know, scrimp and save here. This is where we're going to blow a little bit out of the budget. And this is why we're going to spend those things to create the most perfect version of an event. Because if you ask somebody afterwards, they're always going to have something to say. They're not going to like the food. They're going to think the room was too cold. They're going to, like, there's always something, right, in the survey. So mm-hmm. I think starting with the expectation of our definitions of perfection are different, that really kind of frees you up to say, okay, then what is the best experience for the most amount of people that is accomplishing our goals?
Love that. Yeah. And what are those key elements you don't want to get wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are those few things that have to go right, or, you know, again, not perfect, but have to go as close to perfect as possible for the event to be a success?
Yeah. And like, what is,
because as you said, yeah, everyone's going to complain, everyone always has something to say, but what are the most important parts of the event that should operate properly, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And we talked a little bit about, I know for me, and we talked a little bit before we hopped on the call about the idea of excuses. And it was something that really struck me because it is difficult to balance, right? So, you know, my last episode was about burnout at events, during events, leading up to events, after the events. I know, honestly, I think there have been three other episodes coincidentally in the events world specifically about burnout. It's like, we are all talking about it because we are all feeling it, right? You know, coming back after COVID with increased prices, less budget, less timelines, lots of shortages in the industry. Like, we're still seeing not the same level in like the food and beverage and swag, but venues are getting booked out like way in advance. And so we're having to change those timelines and those expectations. But one thing I kind of struggle with sometimes is thinking, okay, what is excuses versus listening to what you need, right? And so how do you balance the wellness while also not just kind of giving into, oh, well, this is what I needed today. And it's like, well, did you? where do you find that balance of like, I didn't get out for a walk today, or I didn't get up and work out, or I ate potato chips for breakfast and I'm going to pretend that that wasn't literally me this morning, right?
I love it.
So embarrassing. But where do
potato chips are my weakness, so no judgment.
Right, but I could have maybe figured out making an oatmeal or something else, but I opened the cupboard, the chips were there, and I was like, I'm eating these right this second, and then going on to the next thing. So, you know, how do you balance excuses versus what your body needs and then giving yourself the grace to like kind of get back on the horse?
Yeah, so a couple things I'd mention first off are, again, we don't want to strive for perfection, right? So I'm just going to use exercise as an example. If you're not exercising right now, don't set a goal of exercising 3 or 4 times a week, right? It's just too big of a stretch. So with anything, we want to set small goals, work on those. And when those get, you know, underway, then we can increase it. But, and this number, I think this number is even a lie. So a poll done in the US showed that we give 2,190 excuses a year, which works out to be 6 excuses a day, which I think is really low. I think we probably give like 6 excuses an hour in our heads. So we are the masters of excuses, and we learned it from a young age. If you don't want to eat dinner, you're going to make up an excuse that you don't like it, or, you know, you're tired. And then as we get older, the excuses mount, right? So my excuses for years were, I'm too tired and I don't have energy. I did not exercise until my late 30s because those were my two excuses that I totally bought. Then I worked in advertising, and similar to the event industry, I had really long hours, longest hours I'd had in my whole career. And at this point, I had 2 kids at home and my husband and lots of activities going on. I had to stop my excuses because I no longer was feeling good in my body. I no longer had the energy or the patience or the productivity I had. And so for me, I started a morning routine, and I started waking up early, and I started meditating, I started journaling, and I started moving my body. And it took a long time, and it took multiple starts for it to stick, because I'd go back to, no, I just need sleep, or I just need that. But in reality, once I did those things, I felt better than I had in years. And so now I've been doing it for 4 years, and now it's no longer something I really need to think about. It's just automatic. The thing is, motivation is not going to come. It's not going to magically appear one day and be like, oh yeah, you're going to go work out now, Shenandoah. Yeah. No, we have to, our first thought is most likely like, I don't want to go do it. And so we have to push back past that and focus on the benefits. So the more we can focus on what will doing this give me, and really make sure it's something motivating enough to do it, and then just go do it. They say, you know, exercise, the hardest part is putting on your running shoes. Because once you're in it, once you're doing it, you feel good and it's worth it, and you feel even better after. So it's getting through that point to just get out there and do it. But I will add one caveat, and that is sleep. Because I know in the events industry, you do. You have very long days. You have probably not much sleep some nights. So I would say sleep becomes number one. So sleep should be a top priority. And then things like mindfulness, exercise, going for a walk, things like that come second. But without sleep, I don't know. I just feel like that's one of the most important things you can do for your body, and then work on the other habits too.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you're not well rested, you're not going to be able to perform. I know when I do work out and it's first thing in the morning, I can tell the difference between my performance on my bike versus if I like wait a couple hours because, you know, it's a Sunday morning and I watch a little TV first and then I go to the bike. I'm like, oh, I'm like, my performance is much better than when I'm literally half asleep, like stumbling out. I mean, sometimes that's the way you've got to do it. And I think another thing that I've tried to incorporate is also, you know, doing smaller things, right? You know, maybe it's not a full hour workout. Maybe it's not, you know, I know you're, you know, you do a version of the 5 a.m. club, which I had tried doing a version of and kind of had some success and will probably reevaluate once I get out of this busy season, but you will not catch me at 5 a.m. But that's
it
great.
It doesn't have to be 5 a.m. 5 a.m.
at any time, right? And, you know, making it work for myself and for yourself. And I think, you know, sometimes it's, I just got 15 minutes on the bike today because that's all I had time for. And that's okay. And then maybe next week I'll do the half hour, I'll do a 45 minute, or I'll do the boot camp with my girlfriends. You know, I think it's, you know, fitting in what you can when you can to know that something is better than nothing. You know, I used to go to these boot camps in my neighborhood, and the instructor is, she's hilarious. Everyone should follow her on Instagram. She's Everybody's Fitness. Her videos are hilarious. But she always said, you know, no matter how fast you're going, you're lapping anyone who's on the couch right now, right? And it's, you know, sometimes it's just those little steps, and it might not be pretty and it might not be your best workout, but if you get it in, like, that's, you know, an accomplishment. And maybe it's the 5 minute meditation instead of the 10 minute meditation, and maybe you're not even going to be awake for the whole 5 minutes, but like, you know, you got started, you got into the habit, you know, it was part of the routine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, 2 minutes is better than none. Doesn't matter. Whatever you can fit in. Drop the guilt. That's the other thing. I feel like sometimes the guilt we carry around from not doing the things is worse than not actually doing the things. So drop the guilt. Don't strive for perfection. And yeah, where you can, you know, ditch your car and walk to something if you can, right? It might take a few minutes longer, but it's going to give you that exercise.
Ditching the guilt, like that's huge. Yeah. That is so huge. Because if you beat yourself up, then you're just going to feel bad and probably still not do the thing the next time because you feel bad and you're like, oh, well, now it's all a write-off. Like, that is something that I've really been trying to avoid of, like, if I fall off the wagon on any of the good habits that I have, is that it's okay to get back on it. I think sometimes with our digital apps that help us keep track of these things, like, they can be a bit of a detriment too. If you know, you see these streaks that you've had, you know, when I first got my Peloton, I did like something on the Peloton every single day for 365 days. And then I said the next, you know, January 1st, the new year, I'm like, I actually have to stop. Like, I need to, like, one day, like, whatever happens tomorrow, but I need to break this streak because it's actually stressing me out. Because it's like too much pressure on myself of maintaining this streak. And, you know, I had a weekly streak going for the whole time I had the bike and went away last year and just kind of lost track of the days. I was at Disney, so I was getting a lot of exercise, walking 20,000 steps a day around the park. But I just, you know, never turned on the app, didn't think about it, lost this, you know, I think I can't even remember what the weeks would have been, like 200 week streak at that point, or 150 week streak. And I was like, well, I guess that's gone. Like, I guess it doesn't matter, right? And, you know, I see people with their, like, Duolingo streaks, and it's like, that's great. But that actually that starts to stress me out too much of, like, I have a 700-day streak. Like, oh, no, like, now I can't lose it, right? So I think sometimes, like, we got to step back from the tracking and, like, give ourselves permission to just, like, do the thing and not have it overly tracked and overly, you know, I set a book goal every year in Goodreads. And it's more to just make sure that I read enough books when I think, oh, I, you know, if you don't track it a little bit, like, but last year I read 30 books, and I'm like, well, I could make my goal 30 this year. And I'm like, no, you know what? a book every 2 weeks seems like a very reasonable amount of books. Like, let's just keep that goal. Like, it can feel like, oh, you have to always be improving. It's like, or I can just read 26 books this year and maybe sneak in a couple extra because I got into a series or whatever. So I think that's also giving yourself permission to be flexible in those things and like not constantly needing to improve it necessarily, just, you know, doing those good things for yourself, for your mind, your body, like that isn't tracked too much, like to give yourself just to get the reward of the thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great. So, I mean, we're coming up to time. There's so much in this book. Like, I think that the book was great for entrepreneurs and corporate folks. Like, I think that it's really just about kind of getting more out of your life, out of your career, especially if you've been in the same role or same position for a long time, or feel stuck in a position maybe you haven't been in for a long time and are stuck for other reasons. And I think the exercises are, you know, they are the challenging ones. You know, I haven't fully gone through them, you know, just finishing the book, but, you know, the one where about challenging yourself, and it's like, if this doesn't make you uncomfortable and if this doesn't make you like want to throw up, then you're probably not doing it right. And I thought that was really interesting because there were some in the list that I'm like, oh, that's no big deal. Like, I can do that. Like, that doesn't bother me. And it's like, oh, that's not the point. The point's not to like do the list like a checklist. The point is to ask yourself which one of these makes you want to like throw up a little bit, and then, or what other things that aren't on this list make you want to throw up a little bit and do that. So I think like there's just so much to unpack there, and you know, such great conversations in the book with, you know, people from different parts of their career. You know, like I said, some people who had great success, some people who found success in not doing the things. Like, I think there's something there for everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so like, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you, besides telling everyone that they should read the book, but is there anything else, like any little nuggets that you want to really leave with people, or like tell folks like why they should read the book, or who else, you know, I did my spiel on why I think it's a great book and good for folks. But, you know, from your point of view, like, who is it really for, and what are they going to get out of it?
Sure. So I think it's for anyone too, who maybe feels like you've also been holding yourself back a little bit. Maybe you're not showing your true authentic self at work or in your personal lives, because again, those three P's we talked about are especially perception, caring too much what others think of us. And I was that person for so long. For so long, I acted how I thought I should act in certain roles. And I can share with all of you that once I let go of those, and it's hard, it takes time, but once I could let go of those almost like handcuffs, which is why I call it breaking free, that is when I truly started to shine. That is when I did better in my professional life, in my personal life. I had more energy. And I just felt better, because you're not using the energy to be somebody else. So I would just encourage all of you, be who you are, show up as who you are, and you are going to shine.
Awesome. Amazing. Thank you so much. So tell us where we can find more from you and where people can purchase the book.
Sure. So you can find out more about my services at shannontalbot.com/book. Sorry, that's my book. My website is shannontalbot.com. I do send a free weekly email as well on Sunday evenings with tips and tricks to live happier and healthier lifestyles. And then you can buy the book on Amazon. Breaking Free, Stop Holding Back, Start Being You.
Perfect. And we'll, of course, have all those links in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed the book and enjoyed our conversation today.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great chatting with you.
Thanks so much for listening. Follow us on social media and share your thoughts on this week's episode. This episode was brought to you by The Right Stuff Agency. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening. Until next time.